certain amount of time.
Yeah.
And it was just, it was no computer or anything. They had to finish it in time.
Okay.
And she showed me, she said we had
9 in the beginning of the meeting at 9:15, and Colin was going to give us a report from the treasurer.
And there it is. Anything remarkable? It's going to look a little bit weird because this is the first one of the year, so the changes will be. Well, actually, it doesn't look that weird. But this is the first month of the fiscal year, so we're starting off with most of our unexpended budget still there. Programs fund is down a little, but still doing very nicely. There is $10 in the checking account that I can't account for. There should be 1100. There's 1110, but
yeah,
I'll find it somewhere eventually, probably. The right direction.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think I forgot to check our fundraising comparison for the year we just finished with what Tammy had, but that's got, I just did that from my records, but that's got to be about right.
Can I ask a question about the fundraising? Is that a typical amount for fundraising, or is it lower?
Well, I think that's high.
Yeah.
Raffle was, I'm trying to remember, I think raffle was down on a bit. No, that picked up at, I think it's higher than it's been, yes.
Okay.
But we don't really have difficult years because things change. I mean, 3 years ago, we didn't go to the farmer's market. It was much lower. So.
But then that also had to make us dissonant either. Like the first year was gangbusters. And then,
yeah,
like I said, this year,
I think this year I thought it was going to be low. And then on the day,
it really picked up. Yeah.
Okay.
The other year was decidedly heavier there than what we sold here. So it's hard to say. But I think overall, I think that's high, not hugely higher than other times. But
okay.
See, you look back at last year, July, that's because we don't get the fundraising for the fourth in until the year. So that's what we had from book sale and raffle stuff, and it's gone first month. February is going to be basically all of our responses to fundraising, and they don't get in had by Tammy until about February.
Okay, and now on donations.
Yeah, March.
Is that
you'll
low,
see.
High, typical?
I think donations are probably about typical.
Okay.
They took a plunge the other year when the big Northfield donor stopped, but we still have a big donor here and a bunch of medium donors and some little ones. I mean, as far as ideas how to improve our fundraising, I don't know that I necessarily have any, unless we want to conduct more raffles other times of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Raffle a Christmas tree at the end of the year or something. But
I think also, though, that the funds available right now in, well, the Friends budget, you would call it,
yeah,
is reasonably healthy.
And that, by the way, is going to go down because, if you recall, we figured about $2,500 of what we weren't going to raise by putting the taxes up,
yep,
is going to come out of that and go into our operating fund. So we're at about 11,000 and some now. Where are we here? Yeah, program fund is at 11,619. So we're going to be at about 9,000 there next time. last year I didn't get a month to transfer what we had budgeted that way until late in the year. This year I'm going to do it as soon as I get around to it, so it'll be there and done with.
Gotcha.
So you can look at that as probably being about 9,000. On the other hand, we haven't started raising funds or anything. It's only August, so we'll probably be by the end of the year back up where it is now.
Okay.
The big thing that comes out of that is the newsie.
Mm-hmm. Over the years, have you had any strategies that worked better just because of that was the strategy, or you know, some things, some years, different things interfere? But if you had your best strategy for fundraising, what would that be?
Probably right before you and I started, Carl, would have been like the first raffle. Mm-hmm. A year or two before that, it was like a first go, and I think it was really successful, and so it's just been kind of a mainstay since. Mm-hmm. The book sales, I don't think, are really large generators in terms of funds, but people like the visibility, so there's that piece there. The annual appeal letter, as it kind of goes up and down. There had been a donor in Northfield who provided a very generous donation for several years. I guess that's gone away. We haven't necessarily cultivated it anymore. There have been like dinners in the past, like smaller, like one-off fundraising events. But you know, it's been a while since the board has, I guess, systematically thought through changing the structure of the fundraising that they're doing.
Okay.
I mean, if we really get at it, I suppose we can run like 3 or 4 raffles a year. Mm-hmm. Just see how that goes.
Missing pieces are driving in right now.
Mm-hmm.
This is returning to the library. Okay.
Well, thank you for preparing this.
If you like Short Brief Tragedy, read the last chapter of that.
Yeah.
And he wrote it in 2018 or 2017. Have you read it?
I've not, no.
Yeah.
Which book is this? Here's Zealots.
Letters by Divided Lands.
Funds are here. Sorry. I haven't written down. It's 9:30.
Well, we saved you a comfy chair.
Pay attention. Jane?
Hello. Morning. Don has been commandeering the meeting, it's fine, right?
Okay, great. Then I will.
We'll turn it over to Heidi.
Oh my goodness. Okay.
All we've done really is to go through
the financial.
The financial, we just got to the end of that, and we're starting to talk about other strategies that have worked for fundraising over the years.
Okay. Anything of note about the financials?
I don't think there was there?
And I know I need to get you the login
in. Yeah, and again, that's not a hurry. I didn't mean to interrupt your trip. I just meant for you that I didn't realize you were answering stuff on your trip. I thought you would see that when you got home.
Yeah. The thing about that is that because I do e-banking to my other Northfield savings accounts, it's all the same login.
Yeah.
So I don't know how to handle that, and I don't know why I get it and no one else does. So.
Yeah, well... Yeah, it's because apparently you can't have more than one person that this goes to.
Well, then maybe I can switch it to your name.
Yeah, or if it's easy to forward, you could go right to you, or I can forward it right to you if you want to switch it to my name. It doesn't really matter, but
we'll figure that out. Okay, so
you want to do end of the fiscal year report?
So you have to go, right? You have to leave early.
I don't really have an end of the fiscal year report. You said you circulated better on the numbers. Yeah. Anybody have anything about that?
A lot of numbers.
Yeah. I'm sorry that cannot be helped. I know you guys like it digested as small as possible.
Small. But there was nothing unusual or?
I don't think there was anything remarkable.
Mm-hmm. Any?
And I haven't had word from Tammy as to whether we'd have to give anything back. I'm sure we don't have to give anything back because I'm sure we have spent more than the tax dollars. And if we spend less than our budget, which doesn't really usually quite happen, it wouldn't matter anyway because the top part of that budget is our own projects fund. So as long as we spend all their tax dollars, we don't have to give anything back. So we spend theirs first.
Like Carl mentioned, we're going to the fundraising that, you know, the Newsy is kind of our biggest fundraising expense right now, but we still use the operating budget to pay for that until we hit the end of the fiscal year, just in case.
Are you back in charge?
I guess so.
Okay.
Although Dottie can keep going, since I feel a little flustered by being a half an hour late.
I was a little flustered to find out that I needed to start the meeting.
There you go.
When I wasn't planning.
Well, the next is the rest of the consent agenda, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we've got the minutes to look over. Unless anyone has anything else about the treasurer's report.
That was your packet, then that belongs to it.
Okay.
You should have it.
Oh, just one page?
That was part of that.
As you said,
I'm really glad that I said that.
Yes, I'm so glad they're very thorough since we established that I had no memory of taking them or sending them.
Oh, dear. Okay.
We were speculating as to, well, maybe Heidi did. But no.
I don't think so.
Okay.
Honestly, the last 3 weeks was like a little bit of time travel as well for me. So...
We were expecting a text from Nova Scotia saying, this is too good. See you later, suckers.
Yeah, I was ready to come
home. Oh, I bet you were.
Yeah. Right. And this, I don't have any comments about the minutes. Does anyone else?
Mm-hmm. No. I have like a minutes.
Okay.
Beautifully. Express.
Okay.
Yeah.
Director's report. Took it away, Ryan.
Keep it fairly short and sweet. The big agenda in front of us. Another July is overall a solid month. You know, pretty much did a little bit of everything we usually do. Picked up some new patrons, check out some passes, moved some books around. The numbers are up a little bit for circulation, visitation, which isn't surprising for July. It's historically one of the busiest months of the year for us. So, yeah, a little bit of camp traffic, not like summer's past, but we did get some camp traffic in July, which was nice. And I think I left a note, I forget where it was in the report. Do anybody remember the VLA passport program? Do you remember that? Mm-hmm. Years ago, it was also for the 251 Club, where you can go around and visit all the Vermont towns. Vermont Library Association tried to set up a program where people could go and visit all the public libraries in the state. Over the last month, there have been at least 2 to 3 groups of people coming in, just touring public libraries. Like, I've been here and I've been there, we're knocking off this one, and we're going from here to there, and we're going from here to there. And like I said, before the pandemic, there had been not a regular occurrence, but at least a few times a year, you'd have people who would just pull public libraries show up. And last month was the first time that it happened since I can, since the pandemic.
To evaluate, them or just for fun?
Just for fun. Peak baggers. Yeah. Same.
Peak baggers.
That's it, exactly. So the one woman came in and she knitted something in every library. So she was taking a picture of herself knitting in every library. Somebody else was just, yeah, we're just running public libraries. So it was nice to see on the landscape again.
I think Caleb participated in a version that was called the Fiddler's Green, where it's just supposed to play a piece of music in every town or get someone playing.
Oh, that's fun.
Fiddle in like every town. So
yeah, I know. What's his name? Ross, I think, was one of the moving spirits of that.
Mm-hmm. So we've got the library versions.
Yep. Yeah. A couple programs on the horizon. Nothing too crazy.
With the fire department.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds safety like month. A really good idea.
Yep, I'm hoping getting the Vermont Fire Extinguisher Company here is going to be the tricky one, that we can pull that off. So that will be kind of the linchpin for that program to be successful. I left a note, just a quick update. We did decide with the RBS collection, we are going to go through and just essentially go through book by book and decide what to keep and what to collect, add to the collection, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So I have about 4+ folks interested in helping out. We're going to try to get a couple of days in the calendar to get in the building and try to knock that off as expediently as possible.
Give a clue as to how long that'll take?
It took us almost a year to do our collection. Our collection was about twice as big as what's over there. We are, should we say, seasoned.
Taking quick decisions.
And I think there will be, the number of books that are over there right now will not be the number of books that we hang on to at the end. There's going to be duplicates. There's going to be stuff just doesn't make sense to hang on to.
Yeah.
I would hope within a couple months we can do it. And actually, part of the reason we did decide to do it manually rather than trying to do everything like as a digital transfer is it would take us at least 3 to 6 months to get the digital process lined up with our tech company. And there's like, we'd have to go through everything with them. And there's like a 3 to 6 month lead time to make that happen. It's like, well, if it's going to take that long to do it that way anyway, we might as well just get in there and make sure it's done correctly. Yeah.
Four volunteers.
Mm-hmm. I think there's a couple of the folks I can wrangle as well, but there are 4 folks who are committed to, and some of them, at least 2 of them helped with the work we did on these books when we automated this library. So.
And when to start then?
Probably the end of this month, beginning of September.
I would volunteer, but I never saw a book that I thought wasn't worth keeping.
That's, yeah, I'm not volunteering for that same reason.
You have enough for yourself, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to pick out what we want, and then we're going to say, these might be destroyed if nobody rescues them.
What will you do with the discards? Add them to the book sale collection?
Initially, yeah, because the kids' books, the woman who takes our discards for book sales doesn't want kids' books. That we might be able to find some other options, but anyway, I'm not totally sure how much we're going to end up with for how many are damaged, how many are duplicates, how many are going to bite the bus to the end. But
I wonder if there could be like a free books offering, because they're going to do the after schools program, just to have a take home the book.
Yeah.
I think I'm about there, so may I be excused?
Yes, and thank you.
Thank you.
Do you want to cast it? Do you have more for the library? Can we make a motion to accept the consent agenda?
Oh.
Yes.
So moved.
I so moved.
Okay. Seconded.
I say aye.
All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Okay. Thank you, Carl. Your vote has been recorded.
Thank you.
Well, that's very exciting.
Mm-hmm.
I did have one more question about are those just going to stay over there until
we figure out what's happening with the building? And yeah, so it won't, well, that's a yes and no question. most of them, well, the number of books there will likely remain the same. But we do, so once a month, we rotate books between the archives and here. That will just be part of that rotation.
Got it.
So like we might have like a lot of the holiday books that would want to be here in like December or January would be over there in July and August, but then they could show up here in like September and October.
Right.
So we kind of want, we kind of do that already where we're moving books around. But in terms of the shelf space, yes, the number of books in that space would likely stay about the same.
Got it.
And can I offer, if you need somebody else to do something that involves sitting down and going through books, I could contribute my time, plenty of time.
Yeah, because it will be actual book work, you know, relabeling, putting barcodes in. And
I would do that.
Awesome.
Never had so little to do in my life.
Four plus volunteers. Plus is growing.
Great. Okay. Next on the agenda, which of course is any additions? We already did that.
Mm-hmm.
Were there additions to the agenda?
No.
Audience, anyone on Zoom?
There's not, no.
Okay. Nobody here.
And strategic plan work session. So I actually was not idle during between 9 and 9:15. I was emailing you two files to see if you could print here because every single printer in our house is out of ink and will not print. But I created a digital version of the questionnaire that Jeannie and Jane came up with. I was able to print one page before the ink was gone. It prints very similar to the questionnaire that you wrote because I used all your same language, but I made it so that people could fill it out on paper or online. So if you want to just take a look at this, this is the last page, but it's I created different sections because of how Jeannie, you and Jane had it structured. It could be an easier way of compiling the information. Some people will fill it out digitally and some will want paper. So I can show what that looks like. And Ryan's printing out the whole thing, but it does have spaces for comments.
How many pages?
It says it's 8 pages, but it's not 8 pages. Over the last several pages, it's
that's a lot of writing.
It's Google. But it actually isn't. It's the way Google. Yeah, it's the way Google prints it extra large and formats it. So
I can see it.
If it's 3 pages double sided, if you do double sided printing,
and this is going to go to library patrons or everybody in town.
That's what we discussed at the last meeting was, would it be a random selection of Roxbury residents? Okay. So not everybody is a library user, but then most of the questions lean towards someone who uses the library.
How do we pick the random people?
So
one,
it would be
4, 5, 6, 7.
Yeah, I think it would be more random than that. You would use, Ryan, how do you randomly select people to send a questionnaire to?
You'd have a list. So you have like 100 people on the list.
You throw beans and we see what's saying.
There's essentially mathematical programs that generate numbers. So if we had, right now there's 5 people who are sitting in this room, we could have our 5-person list and we could have the random number generator pick 2. So it would pick 2 numbers between 1 and 5 And those would be randomly selected.
So that's how our list is going to go.
I did print the questionnaire, but it was really, really, really small. It wasn't legible at all. So I'm not sure if I can change.
And then this, the draft of a Newsy policy only printed one page.
That's all that was.
It would be a two-page. It was two pages. I got one that's two pages and then the rest.
Oh, you know why? Because I copied. I didn't realize it was two pages and copied it. That's why. Okay.
We have one.
Okay.
But that's later. So do you have that questionnaire?
Oh, let me just.
Did you say?
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Mm-hmm. I looked.
Okay. So
I think
I did add a couple of things to the questionnaire, mm-hmm. in particular the following programs list had some pretty specific things, and then I thought about other things and I added the planetarium show, film screenings, holiday themed programs like trunk or treat or ornament making, educational programs like the cybersecurity for seniors, local elections, candidates meet and greet, and travel slideshows. Those were all the programs I could think of in addition to the ones that you guys had listed. So I did add some.
I guess we're not allowed to have like singing Christmas carols or anything like that.
Well, this is
because it's
these are ones that we've already had.
Okay.
And then the question,
add some if you like. Yeah.
It says other, if people think of one that isn't listed, and that says any comments on the programs you've attended, what would you like to see more of, or is there something we've left out? So that would be where someone would put in, you know, singing group or.
Okay.
So that was the last item on the strategic plan, other than the metrics we were gonna
talk about at some point.
So I can send this around in this digital format and you guys can take a look and make
sure.
Comments.
And how many people then will it go random people?
Well, that was sort of a whole,
like 700 random people. Or half of the population of the town. Or...
What did you say, Ryan? If you send it out to 50 people and you get 30 back, or?
Well, most response rates are about 25 to 30%. I suspect we're probably on the 25 side of the spectrum because it's a general survey going to kind of a general population. You know, if it was just library users, you'd expect it to be a little bit higher because it's a targeted population with a specific interest. But this is going to be more general, so a little bit lower. I know if you have a good simple random sample of 268 people is enough to get an evaluation of the whole United States.
258 in our town, you mean?
Yeah. And so, I mean, we have, well, between 700 and 1,000 people, depending on what numbers you look at.
One question that wasn't on this is, do you use the library? And if we are sending it out to not just the patron, you know, we're not sending it to the patron list, are we? Or are we sending out
to some probably.
I don't think we decided, did we?
We didn't. Mm-hmm. And that's something.
That's what I was trying to pull up my notes to see if we had decided or
right. Because that, I think, if that is the first question and the answer is no, and that could be, you know, if you answer no.
If you don't use it, what is the, are there things that could change at the library so you would use it?
Right. Mm-hmm. I like how that's.
Mm. You could call it the why not question.
Yeah, I don't see any notes that I have from any of our discussions that we did decide what the target population is for the survey. So,
I mean, that first page that I'm missing, first two pages, asks, you know, do rate the services offered by the library. And so do you use the RFL someone using the Wi-Fi is, as we've talked about, on some level using the services. So
also we want to know how they use them. Do they go and pick books off the shelf? Do they come in and use the Wi-Fi? What other ways? I mean, do people
attending come programs
kids here?
Yep.
Do they attend programs?
I mean, do we want to have it be a checkbox? Like,
that's most people would prefer a checkbox to writing out a sentence.
Right.
And I think there are probably some people who wouldn't consider attending programs to be using the library.
Yeah.
Even though it is, you know, consuming a service, there are some people just probably wouldn't register that that is the same thing. It's like if you attended Trunk or Treat, or you attended a candidate meet and greet or something like that, you know, that might not be.
So is there a way of phrasing that question that can, like, instead of it being, you use the library and they're like, no, I never walk in the building, but then they go and they use the Wi-Fi or they go to the candidate meet and greet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Would it be a checkbox of, have you utilized any of the following?
Yeah, I think it's
services or
options, and you know, pick box. Then they can say, "I've used the library in the following ways."
And these will be sent out via regular mail or computer. How do you envisage people receiving the questionnaire?
That's a good question. Well, it will cost more if we send it by mail, but it's more likely to get to every person if you send it by mail.
Yes. So we would have, I mean, the grand list is not, it's not a perfect list of community members, but we do have access to the current grant list.
Okay.
And that would provide us more access to individuals than would email addresses. Email addresses would be really tough to come by.
Okay, so that means a session of handwriting the envelopes or whatever.
Could be. We could print them also.
Oh, printed. Oh, right. I'm in the wrong century.
So, right, we need return envelopes.
Yeah.
We just doubled the postage.
And that money comes out of our funds. Okay.
I mean, does it make sense if we're going to mail it then to have it in a digital format?
And so if we did the digital format, would we put it in locations for people to self-select to participate, or would we put it in locations that we were intentionally sending it to specific people?
Yeah, it's a good question, because
I think it makes sense to send it via regular mail then if we're doing it that way. Not just to leave it lying around for nobody to take or to fall on the ground and get
them. I mean, I think if you get an envelope with your name on it in the mail, you're likely at least to open it.
Yep.
And maybe you say, oh, the library again, they just, you know, want some answers. I don't think I'll bother. Or they're saying, oh, yes.
They care,
and I would like to see them do this and this and this.
So if we were following the kind of the script for how to do a good mail survey, you'd initially send a letter announcing what's coming.
Really?
Like, hey, this isn't some scam, this isn't some advertising. Yeah. We're getting ready to do some research that we think is going to be very meaningful to the future of the library, and we've been chosen to participate.
Yeah,
and I really hope
chosen.
I like that idea, but that
I'm just saying, then you would send the survey.
Heads up, it would say.
Yep. And then survey comes back, you're all good. If a survey isn't returned, then you send a follow-up letter. Hey, not sure what happened, but we didn't see
maybe
your response.
Didn't get our our initial.
Yeah. Here's another copy for you to fill out. And then after that, you would send. So the concern with surveys like this is if there's a difference between the people who do respond and don't respond. So you want to be able to get a hold of at least a couple of people who don't respond to be able to compare their results with others.
Oh my God.
But like I said, we're not.
Maybe they weren't.
But
feeling.
If they do respond, then you've got results, and then they become the group of people that are responding.
The whole thing is very chancy.
I'm wondering.
I think it's beyond the scope of what we're going to pull off.
Well, I guess I'm trying to sort out what we gain. I mean, I like Caitlin's initial idea of providing incentive for people to fill it out. And I feel like if it was available in strategic locations and there was some incentive, you would get more responses from people who wouldn't necessarily fill it out.
So how do you
because
direct?
Because they love the library. Like,
how do you direct their attention to the forms? You know, big arrow with the sign. No.
Well, I think.
Counter.
Yeah, I mean, this is like a whole other discussion about who are you reaching with your survey? Right, the people who care about the library are definitely going to fill it out. And what we want to know is
how many
people are on the edge of using the library or using services that they don't realize are essential that the library provides.
I think we have to choose a course and go that way and not suppose this or that.
Because we're not going to get a perfect response.
Yeah, you don't know what's going to happen.
We want to know. We want to know how many people in the community pay attention to developing the community.
Right, and even just a few answers. Just a few, but they'll show us the way or they'll point in some directions that we...
Yeah.
Can go and give us some ideas. We never know what we're going to get.
So a mailing up to two, let's say 250 people, if you got 50 cents to mail, 40 cents to mail a postcard, 50 cents to mail the survey plus the return envelopes. So it's like $1.50 per person times 250.
We could swing it.
And the printing of the survey and the postcards. So, you know, we're probably looking at $600 in our budget just to
find out
what people are doing. And if the response is we get 25 of those back.
It's a big cost.
It is a big cost.
Yep. I mean,
what if we targeted places where we know people are going to be and set up a table, like at the dinners on the end of the month or at some of these, what are school meetings, or because there are meetings that people come to, even people we think might not care, but I mean, so that we would have the forms there and not have to mail them out, but that people we could have some when you we were talking about incentives that you know if you pick up a form, then I don't know, you get a chocolate bar. I don't know how many chocolate bars we'd have to buy, but I would, you know, if it was someone I didn't know about, chocolate bar, sure, I'll do
anything for a chocolate bar.
Right. Would a chocolate bar be less expensive than mailing?
Well, if the people who filled out the form got the chocolate bar.
Depends on the size of the bar.
I'm not going crazy. I'm not saying go crazy, but I'm just thinking, and it doesn't have to be a chocolate bar. I just said that.
Maybe like champagne will donate them.
Pardon?
Maybe like champagne will donate them.
There you go. Maybe they will.
But then we have to get the questionnaires back. They mean, where do they put them after they fill them out?
Well,
if we go back,
I mean,
so our real objective is just to understand how the community is using the library and viewing the library currently, correct?
Mm-hmm. Or not using.
Or sort of how much of the community is using the library, and are they using most of its features, or are they using just one, and they may not even know that they are utilizing the library. I don't know. It's Roxbury's a hard community to get information from.
I kind of go for a mailing. If it's not too expensive. And
to a random selection.
And maybe I love the idea of putting them somewhere, but you don't know. Mm-hmm. Then you got to collect them. How do you get them back?
Right. Well, one of the places that I see most people going to is the Friday night suppers.
Mm-hmm.
That sometimes there are, 50 or more people that go to that.
70 was our top.
Yeah, that was cool. You couldn't move inside.
I know.
Maybe just a few selected places like that.
But that brings a wide variety of people to it that you don't get at this kind of meeting or that kind of meeting.
I'm also curious if we have a patronage list that likely has emails, right? What if we mailed
those?
We emailed those a digital version of the survey, and we mailed from the grand list
who are not
patrons,
mm-hmm.
and then we're collecting information from both groups. We can kind of get an idea of, well, this group we know because it came back digitally is a patron, and this
mm-hmm.
group is not, and we're reducing the cost of
mm-hmm.
yeah,
the
mailing. Like I said, we're not publishing this work. We don't have to have like a very large sample size. We don't have to.
But I'm just thinking if that would also just cut down on. Because I know when I get mail, it doesn't always get immediately processed and dealt, but this is it's true with emails, I guess. But, but if this, as an online survey, takes less than 5 minutes to fill out,
mm-hmm.
I'm more likely to do it.
Yeah. And you're going to get to the preference of the people. Do they use their email most, or do they read the mail, or do they, you're going to see a split there of which people find that's the way they like to communicate.
I was just thinking of, because we already have their emails and that random selection from the grand list, all we have is a mailing address, but we could, randomly choose, say, 50 from the grand list that aren't library patrons. Is that
mm-hmm.
possible? And then that's private information mm-hmm. that Ryan has access to, but you could select those. We could label those envelopes and
mm-hmm.
and mail out a paper copy and see what kind of return we get. Mm-hmm. And then also have the email, the digital responses from patrons.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just another idea.
That's a good way to get a bigger sample.
Because I am curious about, the people who do use the library, would they use it more often if we had different programming or if we had other things? Well, those are some other questions we might want to ask on this survey. I know I'm making it longer, but hours of operation would be one. Would you use the library more if we had more hours, if we had more, more space, more, or or maybe less of something, you know. I'm just trying to figure out if we're going to do this survey, it should be as kind of comprehensive.
Yeah. And I would say if people that have kids, would you use, you know, do you use the children's section? Because that's where you get the habit of going to the library, is you do that with your mom or your dad and come regularly and maybe read them at home if they're little kids. And I just wondered, I don't know, I haven't really looked that specifically or talked to my grandchildren, but, you know, for like middle school and teens, do we have an adequate collection to interest them?
So if it is going to be advertised or done partly by emailing, we have to have some kind of introductory something, say, hey, check this out, so it's just not clicked on to go to the next email. Or some way of bringing, I don't know if there is a way, people's attention, hey, you know, this is maybe everyone.
A pet elephant, and then people be like, what?
There's something like that. Everybody gets
just
one.
Kidding.
I'd come to the library if I could pet an elephant.
You could pet an elephant or have a pet elephant. Come and pet the elephant.
Pet the elephant.
Every month we
should bring in an elephant.
We need an animal of the month.
Animal of the month, yes.
Or people to dress up like a pet, like an elephant, or two people. Be one elephant, right?
I'd like to see Ryan and Carl. Mm-hmm. Elephant costume.
Sounds fun.
Okay. Well, man, it sounds like this needs a little more digesting and maybe some.
I think it shouldn't need that long because that's really, you know, it can't be too long.
I think it could be streamlined because I think some of the questions are indirectly hitting some of these other mm-hmm. questions that we've. Yeah. Got on here that we could sort of consolidate. Like, is it helpful to list every possible programs, or do we create groups of programs? Like,
yeah,
we have speakers and lectures, but like magic show, arts bus, planetarium show, all fit within kid and the ornament making, all fit, or trunk or treat, all fit within kids programming, and mm-hmm. so the list could be less specific.
No, you could have one checkbox and you could have four
different categories or something. So so that, although I like the specificity, I mean, Ryan has created an incredible range of programs that if we were to list them all, since I've been here, would take up many pages, I think. So, you know, do we kind of consolidate into themes as opposed to specific?
And who's the we who's going to consolidate?
Well, it's Jeannie and Jane's questionnaire thus far.
I think you just volunteered yourself for
it. No, I asked the question.
I know, but you asked the question, which made you a volunteer.
That made me a volunteer. Mm.
Well, I would not mind helping with Matt, just going through listening. I was going to suggest that what if we had a pilot program at the next community dinner? Just take a bunch, you know, copy 50 of these, have envelopes that are stamped with them, and pass them out and see how many we get back. And just see whether that would be a viable option or think about other places we could do that. Mm-hmm. We'd get some responses.
Yeah.
And so,
that's an interesting idea.
So yeah. Just as.
And address to the library.
Yeah, address to the library with a stamp on it. We might, if we do 50, then that's, 10 is $5, so that would be $25. Am mm-hmm. I getting that right? We would have invested in it.
Yeah.
And plus the copying, whatever.
I like that idea. Pilot.
Let's just do a pilot program.
And any thought about, I know, you know, that like the town office or Randy's store, I know Randy has a lot going on, but
yeah,
sometimes that can capture people who are not going to
I
go
think
to
Randy's store. I'm sure Randy would do it. And I'm pretty sure Randy would do it.
Okay.
The town office is a place people usually go to get paperwork that they need.
And, you know, in addition to the dinners, there's also the senior lunch. The crafting group is going to start up. I mean...
Mm-hmm. But if we do too many of those, it's going to use up some of the people we would send the...
Yeah, and some of the people are going to be duplicates.
How do you make sure that we're not overdosing them with
surveys,
questionnaires?
You know, the group that is the best mix of people right now is the supper, because that brings people that you've never seen before, and it brings people you know, and most of the people sort of get along with each other, and if one of them sits down, it's like, oh, yes, the library would like to know these questions. Here, let me give you a pen, and let's fill it out and drop it, and you could have them drop it in the box as they leave.
Yeah, right. Well, that would, or if they wanted to take it home, they would have an envelope.
Yeah.
We could have the envelope separate from the, they can either drop it in a box or mail it.
Right.
I think keeping it as limited as like keeping it to one
place to
place
start out
to
with.
Start out with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
not spread it around.
That's your best mix of people in the town who have come to something, and they come, some of them come because it doesn't cost anything.
Mm-hmm.
So you're pulling in a group that you wouldn't necessarily pull in.
I also just, this is in a sort of an aside, but I have to say that 24-hour Wi-Fi access was critical on this bike trip I just took.
Yeah.
I mean, we would pull into a town and it would, the library would be closed, but
yeah,
we knew we could find an outdoor outlet to charge our phones and a Wi-Fi that we could access.
Yeah.
And I was really, really grateful for that in many, many instances. So I just thought, you know, that was just worth mentioning that.
And I know one other place that people might show up at from a wide variety when we put some advertising, but the Fiddle Group.
The what?
The Fiddle Group is going to do on the 31st in the park at 11 in the morning. I think it's a Saturday.
On the 31st, okay. Nice.
And so if we advertise that, we might get, you know, more people than...
And Jane and I start telling fortunes.
Well, we got to start before the summer's over.
I know. We're never going to get
there. Actually, I have these incredible harem pants from Canada.
I brought back Jane a very cool pair of pants.
But there you go. I cannot compete.
Yes, you can. You can wear them. You can borrow them. No.
Try
them on.
How did we
sure
start?
We started here.
Okay. Moving right along.
Now we're talking now about harem pants and fortune telling.
Okay. So it sounds like the next step is that.
I have something. If you went down to tell fortunes in the park, you would tell everyone that they really should be, you know, they've been designated to make a contribution to the library.
I see.
I see. You're writing the check. Yeah,
I make it to the library.
Okay.
There's your fundraising strategy.
Right.
You're looking for new ideas.
Fortune teller.
I think it would be very funny. Okay, so it sounds like Jane and Jeannie will streamline.
You have time.
Some of
you
the
have to write plays.
Pardon?
You have to write plays.
Well, I'm not writing any plays right now.
Well, tomorrow you will.
Tomorrow.
You could write the questionnaire as a play. I don't know how that would work. And then Ryan, you and I should
go through and get that
at some point.
Quantitative picture of
right. Do that. Mm-hmm.
So we just, you just would want us to look at what you've done already, email.
All I did was I just put it in a digital format, pretty much. And I added a couple things, but then now we're talking about consolidating that.
So what you add, what you added in pencil today is what has to be consolidated.
No, these are my notes, but I'm saying that, you know.
Some might get integrated into the final copy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So... but I can send you, I'll send everybody the digital copy that I have and then some thoughts on how things could be consolidated a little bit to make a shorter survey.
I'm just thinking that's going to be another month before we get that done. That's going to how are we? I think we should, if we're going to do this, we should do it sooner rather than later. And that, I mean, I'm just knowing myself. I couldn't remember I'd done the minutes last month.
So
I mean, getting
right.
this done.
Could we get a copy of it that we could try out at the community dinner
on the 30th.
On the 30th.
Yeah, yeah. I think
that would
really
be a way
goal.
To start
yeah.
and see if people have any interest in
mm-hmm.
helping us to
copy of the redone one we're talking
yeah.
about.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's soon.
Yeah.
2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
And then the fiddle is on the next day. Yeah. So that's
So what I'm going to suggest is that I can think about different groupings of some of these resources
mm-hmm.
and then give them to Jane and Jeannie because the three of us can't meet to talk about this because that would be a teacher forum. So you guys have to do it separate from me. But I would suggest, you know, just going through and coming up with these themes, because when I look at it, I thought there were some overlap of some of the questions. So I can provide that feedback, and then you guys can organize it.
Well, as long as we have something to work from,
yeah,
that includes what you've added or what we've added today.
Yeah, I think that's a good place to start.
But mine.
Does everybody feel okay with that plan, Ryan? As far as a
I guess reasonable.
Okay.
Jane, we'll just have to get together.
There you go.
Don't look so sad about it.
I was being ironic, was I? Oh, darn.
Oh, well, I wish my mind were more incisive.
Okay, we have a lot more to go over here. So... The next, unless there's more on that, we need to review the personnel policy, which we look at annually. We made like small revisions last year, right? And that had to do with pronouns.
That had and every I noted that everyone, the director, wherever it says. Has been changed. The language has been changed completely.
Yeah. Did anyone have any other comments on the personnel policy as it's
been?
I don't
see what more we can add.
No, it seems really clear.
Yeah, there's not been a problem with the existing one.
Anyway, they to offer feedback on
no
this
problem.
Round of revisions.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other policy too.
The freedom to read. Or
oh, I thought some of those statements about the freedom of reading and how you just may disagree. I thought it was really exciting to read.
About. Well, we the library director responsibilities thing. I didn't have any comments on either.
That also was good. So. And it's because it's been worked on so many times. I think, too.
Okay, so then the freedom to read. Do we not have? It's okay.
So, the iPad is there too. Is there as a PDF if anybody wanted it? But no, that had been we had discussed.
Are we skipping over the personnel policy? I missed that.
I just mentioned that the revisions we did last year were just to be consistent in the use of the pronouns. Because the earlier draft had proto pronouns, and I think we discussed changing everything to just using the term library director or using they them pronouns. Is that's what I recall, but now of course I can't find it in here. Because that was more seen as more kind of,
so we're tabling it though.
I think we're just reviewing action. And there's
okay.
No action taken.
Okay.
Because we're accepting it. There's no need for revision. And same with the library director job description.
Okay, so no action. It's needed.
No
nothing
action.
Should be approved.
Yep. We
no
just
action.
Reviewed and no action was taken.
Necessary.
So reviewing policies, we do a couple each meeting just to make sure we don't kind of let things go.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm just.
That's okay.
The way it was set up here, I thought we had to do something.
Okay. So the freedom to read statement, we talked about that the last meeting, right?
As we talked about our collection development policy, and because we have so S220 requires us to have a collection development policy, which we already did. But we reviewed it in light of that law passing and thinking about what we did or did not have in the books and if we wanted to change anything. And then a lot of it does tie back to and stems to that ALA freedom to read statement. So I think this was just an opportunity for us to have it out there discussing that statement. I think I might, after the last couple months thinking about this, I almost wonder, so our current policy has that statement embedded in it, like it's cut and paste into the policy. I almost wonder if we shouldn't just refer to it rather than including it. Because if we didn't update our policy and the freedom to read statement changed and we weren't paying attention to it every month or something, then we would have a policy that included language that really wasn't contemporary anymore.
Really?
So rather than including the actual text, maybe just refer to, and we support the current adoption of the ALA, ALA's freedom to read statement.
Because language changes very quickly these days.
It seems to, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Though I don't think it has, I don't think the statement has though, but you are right though, like next month, they could change it or next year or whatever. And
they.
So could. It's just one of those things that it could just be, if we don't include the actual text, it's easier for us not to make a mistake.
More flexibility.
If that makes sense. But that's the only.
Does that require us to go through a whole policy review and warning and vote? Or can we? Because we're not really changing the policy.
Substance.
We're just changing how it's presented.
Yep.
Not probably. How it's written, but how it's presented.
I think you're probably right. There's not a substance change to the policy. It is almost grammatical. It's just, rather than including the text, we're referring to that text.
Like with a link or saying, you know.
Yep.
I mean, is that, that would require some action today just to say we're going to, you know, delete the actual text and refer to the Freedom to Read Act and do that.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a motion to make that what adjustment to how our policy is presented?
And I'm not sure what is what I've written here. Is Ryan suggested that we make it our policy to refer to the current text to account for possible changes?
I think they call that what, like evergreen, right? Like the policy is evergreen, like it won't be. There's nothing in there that would necessarily make your policy like obsolete or outdated.
Okay.
So is that the wording that we want?
Sure.
I want the motion to.
Mm-hmm.
I'll second it then.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Anything else on that? So we have before us a draft technology and computer reserve fund policy.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There were a lot of attachments on that agenda.
Oh,
there was a lot there. Yes.
So you and Carl got together and
we kind of talked through this. I think
okay, great.
Like overall, I think this fits what the goal had been for the computer reserve fund itself, the intentions for keeping track of the technology devices themselves.
Oh my God.
The only thing I'm not totally sure is when we discussed this a few months ago, I had notes that we had talked about having like specific dollar amounts. Like if something costs more than $200, it required board approval, or if something costs this much money. This doesn't include anything like that because I couldn't quite remember if that was more broad library operations or if it was just technology related, if that makes sense. But you know, I think this got to the overall intention of. It turns out lots of universities have essentially planned obsolescence policies for their technology. They want to make sure that they have everything up to date and ready to go. So there was a lot of university policies that were I was able to refer back to and come up with this template.
I never thought of that as a necessity.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of like, you know, painting the outside of your house or doing something with like the walls or the flooring, like
the right colors.
With this many years, it's inevitable. Like you're going to have to repaint the house, and you're going to have to do this. You're going to change the oil in the car. Or...
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I know. Goes deeper to, you know, into everybody's lives and hearts and souls. You know, you want your computer to be up to date. So
you live in a smart house, don't you? Mm-hmm.
Wow. So the funds for keeping everything up to date can come from a special computer fund.
Okay. We started that a couple of years ago at town meeting because we had said in terms of our operating budget has been pretty level for quite a few years.
Mm-hmm.
But if we were to have a couple computers, you know, fritz out, that's enough of an expense that it would show up.
Or if the system goes out of date and it's changed, then the computers will have to be changed for the whatever
hardware. So in terms of what we're doing inside this building, the computer devices are kind of our big, they're not that big at the end of the day, but
But in proportion to
everything else,
something I never
thought about. So we started that computer reserve fund as a way to ameliorate any big swings in the budget itself.
Okay.
And so this is in the response to, I think we realized after we had that, it's like, well, how do we decide or not to decide to use those funds?
And this is this the language that you were given or you came up with?
I mean, it was a combination of, again, a lot of universities had policies that were available that I reviewed kind of modified to fit our situation, our scale.
So are we supposed to vote on this now? Or?
I believe that's the plan. Do we need to...
Mm-hmm.
When developing a new policy, do we need to warn this publicly before so that people can comment on it? Or it seems like...
And it was... I mean, I guess technically it wasn't warned for adoption.
Do we have to warn it?
This is something I bet, you know, 95% of the people who come and use the library even think of as something that we have to do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's interesting.
Annually, huh?
I'm actually not sure what the...
At the top of my head, I'm not totally sure either, because I think it's just listed as a draft. It's not the other one, so on the agenda next month is adoption.
Yeah, let's do that to be clear. And because I don't see any problem with it, it seems very... responsible, fiscally responsible, and since this is taxpayer allocated funds,
right.
Town allocated funds, then I think the more transparent we are about that adoption of it. But I mean, there's nothing here that seems outrageous.
So what are we deciding to do to
table.
So we reviewed the draft policy, no action taken. It will go on the next meeting agenda for adoption. And then it should just be a vote.
Doing the same thing. We have it open for discussion, then no changes, vote for adoption.
That's the 9 data that next meeting. Well, this is wild. It's the real world.
You just think how many libraries have to be aware of those things.
Think of how many computer programs make money from changes.
Sure.
And what they're saying now, it's inevitable that all of our healthcare at some point in the future is going to be impacted by cybercrime. Like, I forget what the blood bank shortage was down south, like right now, because hackers like screwed something up. Like it's even if you are disconnected, you're not disconnected. The rest of the world is functioning in that digital space.
That's crazy. How can the hackers go after it? Other things.
Wasn't that one of
the kind of conundrums with each other instead of things that people?
Well, they did with the beginning of the Ukrainian war. The Ukrainian army or IT department essentially like recruited volunteers from around the world to help them, but then you're in this conundrum where you've had all these people come in to do a good thing, you know, defeating the Russian propaganda and some of their work, but you've given them skills to do those kinds of things.
Oh,
you get home and you're bored, you don't have anything to do.
Oh, let's see what,
how do you,
let's see what we can disrupt them.
Right, like what do you do with those skills when they're not being used for an act of good?
Well, Kai has a book called Ethical Hacking and Penetration Testing, which is all about can you get into these different systems? And it's like people get hired to test the security.
And they're testing all the time. Really. It's right. always somebody.
Yeah, but I can't, there's nothing I can do to Kai's computer to make it, like, put any kind of rental control on it, because...
He's beyond you.
Yeah. He's got one screen with, like, the code, and over here he's doing this stuff. I'm like, okay, be careful. Okay, anything further? We have the FY24 financial review. Which sounds like Carl did a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay. So we can move on from that. And then the newsy discussion. So last meeting, we talked about us coming up with some.
Do you mean to go copy that? Both sides.
Yeah, if you want to take the single-sided. Here, single sided, and just print the second sheet from the other side. I have the one that's double sided. So I just took this is actually from a town newsletter. Policy that I ended up just revising and cutting out some parts that didn't seem relevant to us. It's maybe more comprehensive than what we need for the newsy, but I also feel that it might not be bad to have something really clearly outlined and a discussion about who is the sort of final gatekeeper on the submissions. Is it the trustees? Is it the library director? Is it a combination? That was a question that we never really kind of answered. So in here, I don't know if Brian can hear me, but I left the director as the final decision maker. So you know, that's open to discussion, but essentially, and obviously, Ryan, you haven't, this was one of the links I sent you. This is a version of it, just with everything changed to Roxbury, Roxbury Newsy, but stating the purpose of the newsletter, which we can discuss and modify how things get published. And I was telling these guys that I left you as the final editor in terms of deciding what gets published or not, and submission guidelines with deadlines. Editorial guidelines on the other side.
Who was the editorial board thing?
Well, that's what... So this original version, this policy was a town, and it was the town manager was the editorial board. So that obviously doesn't fit. So it was sort of, are we a combination of the library director, library trustees? We obviously have Courtney on board as a copy and text editor.
And I had a question is, does the library director want to have all of the responsibility?
Well, that's right. This is totally open to discussion. And I was just doing this at 11 o'clock last night. So I didn't, this is absolutely.
This is fine.
A virgin.
It opens
so up. I did add, there were some other sites that said all photos need to be used with permission of both the photographer and also the person who is in the photo. And I, in the past, when say I've snapped a picture, I've put pictures in that I didn't have permission of the people involved and I regret doing that. And so I think that that's a really important piece, especially if there are photographs of children
So interesting.
And whether or not they're identified. So I think that is something we need to talk about. Because if a photograph comes in from someone else and it's a picture not of them, how do we know that we have permission from that person? So
and you're talking about photos of one person. What if it's a group photo?
If it's a group and it's hard to identify, okay, maybe we don't need to do that.
Photos are something that had been on my radar in the past. And most often it came from the school, and the school would have only sent us pictures that had parental approval.
Oh, interesting.
To it, but that yeah. had not, that was not always the case. But no, I think pictures is an important piece because that had been something that I've made note of in the past.
Yeah, and I know that one of these sites said that any photos, you know, photos in general of groups of people should be taken from the back so that they're not, their faces aren't identified. I mean, there were some really? Very specific wow. things. So, you know, again, this, that section certainly could use, you know, some feedback on that. The other piece, which I was curious to get people's, the paragraph on the page 2 says, in order to maintain nonpartisan publications, in the past, we posted announcements with political party affiliation. And I think that's acceptable, in my opinion.
I think that's
if they're open fine. Meetings, you know, the Republican Party meeting, the Democratic Party meeting, and things like that. But anything that takes a particular position probably doesn't, shouldn't have space in the museum. And that mm-hmm. I think includes.
Mm-hmm.
I
think it's a good list. Submissions by residents, the person submitting the article.
So this was very specific to this town, and I was curious what people thought. Does everyone have to be a resident? What if it's someone who comes and spends the summer here? They're not a resident, but they're very involved in the town.
Right. I think that.
I think we would have issues with that.
Right. So I was wondering if we change that to either we are not so specific, and you know, we could just eliminate that whole section, but.
Like we have, like the state police have written articles before, like Northfield groups have written articles before, like right. there's that are beneficial to Roxbury or do include Roxbury.
Yeah.
But those contributors would not have had, they would not have met these guidelines. And I don't right. think, but I think those contributions or those articles would have met all the other expectations that we have right. for the newsie, but. I mean, you might just say, like, we prioritize these Roxbury-centric organizations, but it's not not exclusive.
Right, okay. So right. I like
I
that because that... Cause
I agree with that.
Okay, we prioritize...
But if there's some really zingy article that we would love to put in...
Right, okay.
...and have room for...
What about the organization submitting the article must be located within Roxbury's geographic boundaries? Because that would eliminate something like the state police.
Or there might be things that are happening in the state throughout. That...
Because think about it, we've advertised Jeannie's plays.
I was about to say.
And when's the last time you've had a play performed in Roxbury?
Right.
Right. So your plays wouldn't have been able to have been, even though, and again, so that's where we'll have to be careful about how we word this because... It's promoting something that community members is doing, but what's happening isn't within the geographic boundary.
True.
So if we take out condition 1 and 2, we've got the organization has a lawful purpose which does not pose a threat to public order, to safety.
That's a good idea.
Or the safety of any individual. I think that's actually pretty important.
Right.
And then the number 4, marketing products or services or making a profit. That's more complicated because you might do it something highlighting business
in town. Right.
And in which case they're benefiting from the free advertising, but
may include marketing. The organization may include marketing services in town.
So I'm maybe more generally curious about thinking about what's listed here currently. So we switch between person and organization.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that makes a really big difference.
Mm-hmm.
Are we, I think historically organizations have been the primary contributors to most content, but that's never always been the case. Individuals have submitted material, you know, throughout the years. So individuals have been invited to submit content. Are we going to change that or make it at least consistent across how we're going to think about it?
I mean, is there a way to just present it as including both people and organizations and not
the people in the organization? People and organizations don't
have. If we just found a contributor,
okay.
A contributor submitting the article.
Submissions by contributors.
Could be inclusive of either an institution or an individual.
Right. Contributor or organization. And what do you think about just eliminating the fourth? I mean, unless the event is determined to be a community event, a community benefiting the community in general, or we just leave it. I don't know. I mean, again, this is, I think, something ideally we would try to get in place soon, but, you know, we've operated thus far more freeform, so maybe it's not, there's not such a rush.
I think it's also that having the director be ultimately the final voice. For instance, forget using myself, but if I submit, oh, I'm going to have a play done with Valley Players, well, the Valley Players are going to make some money from that. And they are not a local institution, but it is still, people from Roxbury can go inviting people to participate. I don't know.
And it's also highlighting you as a Roxbury resident.
I am, yes.
Who's directing, you know.
Right.
So, I mean, again, I would go back to the newsletter purpose.
Yeah.
And say the primary purpose of the newsy is to promote community and, I mean, the economic development piece, that was part of the language of that town's, but providing, what's that?
I wondered about that.
Yeah. So it wrote community.
Economic development.
Community and cultural development.
Economic and cultural and economic.
Community, cultural, and
economic.
And or, you want to just put or.
Or do we even, the newsy doesn't necessarily need to promote economic development. Our goal is informational.
Community and
cultural. Like the genesis, that was definitely the case.
Right, it was informational.
Yeah.
Promote.
Mm-hmm.
Regarding governmental and
community and cultural events.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, how about promote information on community and cultural events? I don't know.
If I were to look at this from an implementation standpoint of doing my job, the purpose says we will be make this available in print to all Roxbury residents. I don't honestly think I can do that because we don't have all Roxbury residents' addresses. Like even with the best of our abilities to talk with Tammy about this and review that and update this. We don't have, that's what we're striving to do, is to provide it as widely as possible. But I don't think it's possible for us to say we can get it to everybody, because it's tough to find everybody.
Right, but if we do the best to mail it to everybody and we put it as a link on the town website, in theory, it's available.
Yeah, yes. Yes.
So just put the word strive for Alan, and that leaves it open.
It's just a little bit nitpicky there, but like it is.
Okay, available in print too. We take out all to Roxbury residents and in digital format to the general public on the town and RFL websites. Does that seem, because it.
I almost wonder though, we don't have any authority over the town website. I mean, tomorrow they could say they don't want to put the Nuzzi up there anymore, and we wouldn't be able to do anything about that.
Okay, so we'll take out the town and make it.
I mean, you could say, and at least the RFL website.
What are you taking out?
I was just saying, we don't have any authority over the town's website to be able to say what does or doesn't show up there.
Yeah.
So if we were to adopt this as a policy,
right, we can't they really... could decide we're not going to put anything that the RFL does on the town website, and we couldn't really do anything about it. So in digital format to the general public on the RFL website.
The purpose is to provide as broad a forum as possible for community and cultural activity for the dissemination of the...
Where am I missing cultural?
Oh, it got the economic got removed and replaced with cultural.
Okay.
Which seems more aligned with what we're actually doing. And I think rightly so should be our focus. We're not here to
build up our business.
The select board is in charge of economic development of the town.
Yeah, it makes sense to take it out.
So this also uses town with a capital T and its employees, which I don't know, by providing.
So, and Ryan, did you agree to the, all material will be submitted to and reviewed by the director before being accepted? Is that?
When there's room to discuss ultimately who is or is not responsible.
Right.
Like I said, I think that that would be fine.
Okay.
If it ultimately is the responsibility of library staff.
Okay.
But I think it is worth considering, like we've talked about the Newsy editorial board, which starts off section 5. Currently nothing exists as a Newsy editorial board, but if that is something we're thinking about,
you don't have
then I think that, right. Then I think it would be worth considering who has the ultimate say, whether it be the library director or, you know, is the library director even part of the editorial board? We don't know, since we don't have
the
board.
Anything about.
And maybe that's an additional section that's the editorial board shall consist of.
Right.
And then we decide.
Right, because we haven't decided yet.
And, you know, is it the library director, a collection of the library trustees in some format, you know, and volunteers, because Courtney is volunteering and she's not on the, you know, and then we leave it vague like that, because it may be that Courtney decides she doesn't want to do this anymore and someone else who wants those. But that's pretty wide open. Someone could just come up and say, I want to volunteer for the editorial board and
never return yet.
Right. So what, you know?
Well, you could say something about the board will be selected from the following.
And I think in the beginning, what we put out to do was essentially compile information that was sent to us. We didn't claim responsibility for anything that was printed.
Right.
And for the most part, it's worked. So like I said, we didn't offer, when Courtney started her editing business, you know, she jumped on as an opportunity to build some experience.
Yeah.
But we didn't edit, like if you had really bad pronunciation, really bad spelling and grammar, that was
that was
you.
That was an issue last time.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So yeah, it's like in the beginning, we essentially said there wasn't going to be an editorial board because there was no editing. It was just going to be you send us your stuff and it goes out. Like I said, there really hasn't been any discussion of who is or isn't ultimately in charge of that. So
that's true. Can the library board be the editorial board? Or
the board of trustees.
The trustees.
Do the trustees want to review every issue before it comes out?
Right. Good question. There's some trustees plus volunteers.
And another, I mean, another way of perhaps approaching it is if Ryan is willing to continue being the final gatekeeper, for lack of a better word, and anything that is potentially flaggable gets put to the trustees as, hey, this got submitted. Does this fall within our policy? But again, I'm not trying to shunt more responsibility on you, but
but it is worth thinking through how we have it structured.
Right.
Because it wouldn't make sense for the library director to be the deciding factor, but all the library director's bosses be the board that approves something coming. Like, why would I ever disagree with what the board says? If it was a board of non-library board members, then the relationship is different.
Right.
If that makes sense. So I was going to say, if the library board was going to be the editorial board, I would say that's the ultimate stopping point. They get the points so you don't blur the boundaries between the library staff and the library board.
Okay. So the way that it's written here is that the library director, all material will be submitted and reviewed by the director before being accepted. And then later, under editorial guidelines, it says the library director has the final editorial control of all submissions. And are you suggesting that we leave the first statement, right? The material will be submitted and reviewed by the director, but that the library trustees have the final editorial control.
Mm-hmm.
Does that seem to fit with that kind of flow of?
That would be fine if you want responsibility.
It opened it up. I think it would be good for the trustees to have that responsibility. Mm-hmm.
I think it also it protects the director.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That it is not. They can sue us.
Mm-hmm. Right, sure. And it's open to a bunch of viewpoints.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm curious if that's how we want to do the flow of, you know, mm-hmm. Ryan ultimately would say, this is a questionable piece, but in general, something submitted by, say, the park committee doesn't necessarily need the trustees to review it.
You should see their grammar.
Better watch out, buddy.
But does that make sense, like in terms of just sort of the workflow part of things, like, you know, a recipe that gets submitted for, you know, sure. Does it need to be fully vetted and tested? And
there's a point where it goes way beyond necessary.
Whereas
people see arsenic, they should just know.
Well, and I also think,
get your scissors and cut that recipe out and toss it away.
Right. But I also think that in general, that's sort of how things have operated, where you've said, hey, this maybe shouldn't, you know, this needs a name associated with it. And it can't just be this general unknown title or group. There has to be a way to contact. And so that was, you know, then that got worked in. So I'm just I was just thinking
that?
In terms of that kind of workflow.
Contact isn't included, is it?
No, it isn't. And that should be,
because that's kind of, that is like the scenario you just described, that is a fairly important piece. Because we talk about the organizations.
Contact is contributing.
So these,
to be able to, so if somebody wrote something and somebody wanted to follow up, either good, bad, one way or the other.
Or, and my other question is, does grammar get changed? You know, person's individual way of expressing him or herself gets changed to make it more acceptable.
Right. Well, that's been, you know, just in the last few years, that's been Courtney's. Courtney's done that. I haven't done any adjustments.
Right. It was just a question.
Yeah, but I think in large part, her edits tend to be fairly minor.
Yeah, they do. They are.
And for clarity, and she loves that Oxford comma, so.
I'm thinking more of Santee's contribution.
Right, there were some.
Name a name.
But that included, that said, as submitted by. And then it was, because that felt like something that shouldn't get edited for that.
Oh,
in the sense that it was a very, very specific.
Right. And it has, or maybe not a but, it has to do with free speech and how freedom of personal expression. It has to do more with that.
So we've never returned a proof to the contributors to get their approval of what's printed.
Like you've adjusted what they sent? No. So what, you took it just as it came to you?
Pretty much.
And you've never returned it.
Like I said, Courtney is, comments here and there, capitalization, this, that, like whatever. But we've never really tried to change or do anything to content itself.
Okay.
I think there was one change to something Mary Bouchard had submitted that you suggested. I just make sure that change was okay with her. And she was totally, she said anything to improve clarity is great. So that was, again, if it's not so much the entire newsy as a proof, but, hey, we made this change. But in general, little changes don't get returned.
To the contributor. But the question though is, what would constitute a small enough change that might turn somebody off or make somebody feel like,
well, put a comma there.
Yeah. And again, I think we're way into the weeds.
Yeah,
based on what most people, and I was thinking, how did you and I talk about this between the last meeting, at some point before the board would really go in and adopt this, I'd suggest we have a meeting with the primary contributors and just get their feedback on how things are going, what they'd like to see, what's not working, and also kind of run this past them as well, just to get kind of their feedback in terms of really, there's four people that do most of the contributions. So it's not a huge group of people. We're just to get their ideas on some of the things we're talking about right now.
Right. I think this is good.
And the size, was that stay the same?
I don't.
Or can it be enlarged without costing a lot?
The last issue had a page insert, didn't add a whole lot of cost. And that is oh my God, he's crawling under the railing to get to the propane tank or something. He's like, what is he doing? That's his job. That would be a way of adding four more columns.
Yes, I know.
Without necessarily adding that much cost, but in general, we tend to have
not enough
for the four pages that we have.
Right.
for eight pages.
The last one seemed pretty full.
Right. And you know, some of these policies limit people to the number of words. This, you know, if Kristen is no longer on the school board, Rhett doesn't tend to write as long.
As much as.
And, you know, but we may have additional material coming in from the RBS building committee or other.
All the other committees in town.
Newly formed groups. And so I think keeping it the same size, and when there's not enough material, trying to fill with photos, recipes, things that are very kind of neutral.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to select us a page size.
What do you mean page size?
Or a number of pages or content?
And you're saying no. Keep it
no.
Saying.
I said we don't need to say anything about limiting people to number of words.
But alternatively, though, if we look, think about it from the other side, is when we don't have enough, which, like you had said, is more often the case, to fill that eight-page layout that you normally work with. So what do? Do we just leave blank pages?
No, that hasn't ever happened.
It's because?
Because
you always find...
Well, find a photo, you know, again, like there's photos or...
Or something.
We're all saying, hey, you know, somebody give me a recipe, you know, and...
Well, this is where, but that's kind of where it comes to, is when we reach out like that, though. Isn't the content isn't there, where does it come from?
Right.
Rather than just running with a smaller, like the opportunity was there for everybody to submit. We got what we got. Do we run with just that, or do we bang on doors? And if we are banging on doors, then I think we should be careful of whose doors we're banging on, if that makes sense.
Like a broader range of doors, or because you think that by soliciting material from
people we know individually,
uh-huh.
then that's when it becomes less community-based or less
right.
broadly community.
Have you felt that's happened yet? Or have you felt that's happened yet?
I do, yes.
You do?
So, okay. Do you think other people feel that way?
I mean, there's a lot of your family photos. In the newsie.
What is
true?
There's a lot of Pincus Stanley photos in the newsie.
They're not lately. But funny. It's true. When the boys were homeschooling and they said, I want to do something for the newsie, I wasn't gonna say no.
Sure.
But
no, I'm just saying, it's like thinking about, because it's what we're talking about, like the page number, the
and
length
that,
of
I've
the issue.
A bunch of things just because we needed to fill it.
Sure. And that's what it's do we need to fill it? Are we holding ourselves to a standard that might be too big for Roxbury?
A good question.
So that's kind of the question that I would
and
I think about is, because you're right, more often than not, we struggle to get.
Right. Context. And I think to be fair to Jane and myself about publishing, say, a photograph of Jane's artwork or a poem, when I have reached out, you know, I've sent emails out to people, hey, anybody got a great mud season picture? To the people I know, because those are my contacts. A mud season picture somehow doesn't seem exclusionary, since we all experience mud season. But if people are gonna be upset about who's submitting the photo because they know it's a friend of mine or Jane's or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That just seems very small to me. But
again, no, I think it's more, again, like thinking about this page length piece.
Right.
It's like more often than not, we struggle getting content.
I would say the last year, that is not the case for the most part, except for an individual issue and then we skip publication. But if you think of the newsie as two tabloid pages like this, it would be possible instead of getting, I mean, this is the other thing is other people have given the feedback that having photos in there makes it a lot more visually appealing.
Absolutely.
But let's say we got our two, you know, our 8-page spread here. It is possible to just do one with a single insert like that, and you've eliminated. You've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 pages. You can turn it from 8 into 6. You could be 8 into 4, which is just a single sheet, or you could have 8, which is 2.
I'll never write another thing for the movie.
I don't think anyone's saying that, Jane.
Sounded like it, actually.
But I do think that, I think what Ryan's saying is valid. I just think it's...
I do, too.
And Jane, when we went back to the beginning, the intention wasn't to make it sterile. We wanted to have something that was going to be more engaging, that was going to be more lively than just a calendar that had the dates of the upcoming meetings.
And since it always ended up in your hands, really.
But not always.
Often. And that since I was there and I had a spare poem, you know, it's like, oh, yeah, you know, maybe it'll inspire somebody or something. But I certainly don't want to be part of a faction that's overdoing it.
No, I'm not saying that's the case. I'm just making sure we don't set ourselves up to make something that's bigger than what makes sense for Roxbury.
Oh, I agree. I agree with everything you're saying.
And I take the position of lately, it has been really big and it has actually been a struggle. I've had to cut things rather than...
There's been so much.
Rather than think about eliminating pages because we don't have content. And I think it's because lately there's a lot going on in town now.
So do you think it's a good thing that it's moving toward bigger, or do we need to sort of say, no, that's as big as it's going to get?
I don't think it should get any bigger. Yeah. And I think it is possible to turn it from 8 pages into 6 if we don't have enough material. It's more, since we went from 8 pages to 10, essentially, although only one side of the insert was printed, I think that seeing how easy that was, I think it's just as easy to go the other direction. But it is hard to know who to solicit photos or other material from.
Right. And like I said, I know I've told you, like, I've reached out to folks to try to get more people to provide content like Jane does, like doing interviews and providing, like, on the ground.
People don't do it.
I just haven't found.
And there have got to be people in town who do things like that. I mean, who are creative, who write.
Like I said, it's been a while, probably been a year, that I've asked anybody.
Really?
It's been a little while now.
Yeah, it would be wonderful. People started, like, who was the guy who lived down the hill who had all his combat poetry?
Oh, Chuck Slocum.
Yeah. But he wouldn't want to.
Not everybody wants to publish things publicly.
And so I think the newsie would be better if we had more Jane Pincuses doing what you've done in the past.
Well, I think there need to be more people contributing.
Yeah.
But what you're saying is it's not happening.
So if we were to make a list of everyone who has contributed in the past and everyone who in theory could contribute based on their connect, like I've reached out to Jack Cashman and said, hey, you know, tell me about the Monday lunches. Do you, you know, want to give me an update? And I never got anything back. So again, to be fair, it's not for lack of trying to reach out to other folks.
From the beginning, if you'd ask the auditors every year, at what point in the deadline everybody's town reports come in for the town report submissions, they're always like late or at the deadline. And so essentially that's what we're doing 4 times a year, is trying to get.
Do you think it's because they don't take the newsie seriously?
No, I think everybody's just
or busy.
And it's,
and I think that's sort of something that's good, but it's going to take the time they're using on something else.
Sure.
So I don't
and
know.
Another conundrum is also the quarterly issue cycle.
Right.
It's, I don't know what we're going to be doing in 3 months. Like, I have an idea. Mm-hmm. We'll probably have this, or we'll probably have that, but I couldn't tell you what's going to be happening in the middle of December. And so I know Tammy has a struggle with that some also. It's like, right, I know we're going to have more to share, and I know we're going to have more to tell, but I just,
yeah,
it's tricky to come up with it. And
but there are at least like six, if not more, organizations in town or meetings in town that are taking place now. It might make sense to contact a key person in each group and say, listen, we really want to learn what's happening. We want the town to know what's happening. Could you, you know, get back to us? We want to publish these exciting events because the town has changed. As far as I've seen it, so much is changing this year. You know, the town, it's in the process of growing and shrinking. And in the newsletter, it would be wonderful if it could reflect that, express that in some way.
We need a roving reporter.
Yeah. And, you know, even a review of the work that you do. Did in the play, you know, the cultural events. Somebody, there is so much happening in town that I think people really don't know about.
So, do you have suggestions, Ryan, for additional people we can reach out to for content, or you could reach out to for content that haven't been on the radar, who feel alienated in some way?
For content, like as in organizations that haven't been represented, or just people?
Yeah.
For organizations, not necessarily. Like I said, I think we've invite, I mean, there's not that many organizations in town.
But you could have a reacher outer, like one of us could maybe call somebody up and say, hey, what's happening? You'd like to know?
And that's what I try to find. I talked to a bunch of high school students.
Yeah.
To kind of do what you had been doing with the interviews,
yeah,
like writing stories, something that wasn't just
meeting announcements.
Right.
Do we know of any cartoonists who mm-hmm. could, you know, high school age or comic book artists kind of things who, like, writing's not their thing, maybe some form of artwork or?
There's somebody I could think of that might be, but.
Well, it'd be nice to reach more people, for sure.
And I'm curious, because we've said in the past that the Newsy, you know, primarily comes out of the Friends budget, but we're publishing a lot of things for the town.
Right, the library board is subsidizing the town's announcements.
Really, right.
So,
well, if you were to look at the number of pages
dedicated.
Across all the years, the town office has printed the most words, printed the most pages.
I bet, yeah.
I'm not saying that's bad or it's wrong, but at the end of the day, the library board is paying to do the town's announcements.
That's true. Mm-hmm. Let's hear it for the library board.
The library board, go.
Okay. Anything else pertaining to this at the moment?
So clearly needs more discuss.
We haven't decided anything. We're just discussing and making, you know, going through this and thinking about how to proceed.
One other idea. I don't know where it fits in anywhere, but you could have categories if there were enough space, like past, present, and future. I was just thinking that there are certain things that happened in the past historically in town, you know, like 7 days does even on the front page. What's happening in the present? What do we want to see happening? Have different columns I guess if we had enough writers, we could do that, but we don't have enough writers.
You mean past from like 5 years ago in the newsie?
Yeah.
Or like 50 years ago in town?
Like 50 years ago in town. One reason I suggested, I found the column I'd written actually for I don't know what, just about what was happening in town with a lot of people who died already, right? You know, but that was the town's past in a way. Have the town be have a personality, you know. I don't know quite what I'm saying. Actually, so I'll shut up.
Well, no, I think you're stretching open the possibilities for it. And that's what we've been talking
on this
about.
On this date in
like one view.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I'll never forget the reading of your play that night at the library. You know, things that we'll never forget. It was.
Well, I will never forget that.
It was amazing, right?
Although I can't remember exactly when it was.
And Ann Donahue even.
Ann Donahue wrote an article about
it. She loved it, right?
Ann Donahue would have been the only Republican I ever voted for if she stayed here. she went off our ballot that same year. So
that's funny. Things we'll never forget about town. You know, round out town. It shouldn't be just announced. It's more interesting, not just get rid of the shit. It's more interesting if there is a balance of epochs. Mm-hmm. Epochs.
Well, Brett and I still want to know who got shot in our house.
Does anybody know?
That whole the mystery got shut down because of COVID.
Well,
the mystery.
The murder mystery.
Well, the murder mystery, but no, somebody was shot in our house and nobody will tell us who or who
did
it.
Does anybody know?
Yeah, I think some people do.
Mm-hmm. Not me.
Before How did the state police know?
We've tried to find out. We've actually tried to find out, and we have an idea that it was a domestic dispute, but it was not within the family of the house. But one of the people in the house was involved in a broader domestic dispute.
Any ghosts?
Oh, there's always ghosts.
I grew up.
Well, they weren't killed. They weren't killed.
Oh, they were. Okay.
Well, the person wasn't killed, but the person who was the guilty party did go to jail for a while.
Really? Yeah. Things like that.
So it's there somewhere, but we haven't been able to find it. So those are things. That's why we need to have a storytelling night. Again.
And more storytelling. Yeah.
More storytelling.
Well, I thought of adding something in the newsletter. Purpose, we also celebrate the diversity of our community and welcome more personal art, poetry, or other creative submissions.
That sounds good.
And then, you know, then it's clear it doesn't have to be just.
Because we've included every issue for the last how many years, contributions from kids, please send them.
Yeah. And I think the final statement was, I think, probably the most important part of this was all articles, notices submitted by community members and community organizations may not contain profane language, sexual content that promotes, fosters, or perpetuates discrimination, et cetera, et cetera. Defamatory statements, content that advocates violence or unlawful activity or which poses a threat to public safety or security. That's actually probably.
That says everything.
Yeah, it's pretty much like, you know, again, is this getting above our raisin or is this protecting us from
it's protecting.
Situation?
I think it's protection. I think it's fine.
I was wondering if also this is kind of the same thing where say, in order to maintain nonpartisan publications, while the newsie will publish meeting announcements and organizational activity, it will not accept submissions that advocate for or against specifically.
I like that.
Yep.
Okay, so
sounding better by the minute.
So if we think about these last two pieces that we're discussing right now, would they help or not help us in considering what to do with Dave's submission in the last issue?
I think if we were to apply these guidelines, I would say he was not in violation of any of these.
No.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think it's really good that we,
mm-hmm.
but I, again, all of us, at least mm-hmm. reading that initial draft of the newsie to stop and think about whether or not was this acceptable or unacceptable. And I think this particular policy is a step in the right direction to being able to say yes or no, this doesn't meet these guidelines.
So
and I think that's really important to have that as a both to protect us and to and to have something to turn to and say, actually, it says right here.
Make it respectful for the contributors to know
right.
that yeah. we're not picking on you, or we're not picking on,
right.
we don't like them more than you, or whatever.
Right. Absolutely. And I think, you know, again, because it was the first time we've gotten an opinion piece, but it was very clear that, well, maybe not the first time, but the first overt opinion piece that wasn't affiliated with the group.
That's a good
yes. that was you know, again, it got us to just stop and sort of say, wait, where does this fall?
Mm-hmm.
So does that feel, does everyone feel good with that? That's it.
Keep on the right track. And you made some notes or some edits on section 7, essentially like the criteria for what a contributor can be, right?
I have a contributor, I'm changing it from contributor from resident, right? Because and community organizations, the following criteria must include contact information and name of contributor or name of
mm-hmm.
contributor. And then this number, so we got rid of 1 and 2. And then the question is number 3, the organization, the contributor or organization has a lawful purpose, which does not pose a threat to public order, the safety of the public, or the safety of any individual. I don't know. And then there's the whole marketing products or services, making a profit. So unless the event is determined to be a community event, like Jeannie's play, or community information benefiting the community in general, that seems pretty.
Seems clear.
And 5, provides the community with information about a community event or useful information to the community that is nonpartisan. I don't know if we need the nonpartisan, but.
Yeah, I think you should have it.
Yeah, keep nonpartisan. They're committee partisan.
And they all speak loudly.
And then the newsie will attempt to publish all submitted notices and articles by contributors or community organizations. Unless there is insufficient space available or it deemed unacceptable for publishing by any section of this policy. And I think that,
yeah.
again, that pretty yeah. much wraps it up.
Look at how much you've condensed it already.
Right. Well,
so it's not It's a good problem to have. But if we are to find ourselves with insufficient space, do we need criteria for deciding what does or doesn't get kept?
So that this particular policy on the that town website had a priority list. And because it was published by the town manager, they put town government as the top priority and community organization as individual resident contributions as the least valuable. So that is something to consider. Are we going to prioritize, or are we just going to try to work with what we've got?
I mean, it might not hurt to have a statement, even though it's likely we won't ever find ourselves in that position. But if we were have to cut something,
we'll be flexible as soon.
Oh,
and again, I mean, we could even say, you know, photos would be eliminated first. You know, just something as simple as that. If we find ourselves in a position not to have space for everyone's content, you know, no photos will be around that issue or something, or I don't know.
And
but
if you're short on things, just enlarge the photos to fill some of the space.
And that statement, if I pull it up and put it underneath number six, space guidelines, because this is how I consolidated it. I just said the Roxbury Newsy is limited on available space. Material would be published as space allows, with priority given to. And then I just put that in because I didn't know what people thought. So
it's good.
I do feel that if the trustees and the library are primarily funding this newsletter, I do think it's perfectly fair to
determined by the trustees.
To make sure the library gets some priority.
Yeah.
Is it in that order? What do people think? And I don't think the order that they're listed necessarily has to be the order of the priority so much, but I don't know what people think.
Wouldn't it one time be one issue that would be a priority or one entity, and then the next 3 months there'd be another?
Well, and this would only be an issue if we didn't have space.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so we've never yet had an issue that was entirely filled with town governance and had to eliminate the library report. So
whatever, I think it's
which way did that shift? Like with our mailing deadlines, you know, we do tend to emphasize July 4th celebration stuff with July issue.
Mm-hmm.
With the March issue, it definitely gets dominated by town meeting elections and what's happening with town meeting. And then October and January, just fingers crossed to get something in there.
I don't know.
I think it varies. But I don't know how to discuss it.
Mm-hmm. What? We've tried to insert conditions that you can imagine it appearing. Every time you try to put together, there's going to be something. You say, boy, am I glad we added that condition. Mm-hmm. Or, boy, well, I think we should take this condition out in the future.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you've tried to make it as flexible as you could.
Maybe a state we could make some kind of write a statement like that, you know, if it's open to reconsideration if we need to. I don't know how to phrase it.
I mean, the goal is to adopt this as a board policy, right?
I don't think we want to say we're open to. I mean, it's a policy that would need to be
revised, but the board would still have that authority to change it.
That's okay. Maybe it doesn't need to be said.
So, how do we phrase it? If space is limited, community member contributions such as photos. I don't want to say will be the first thing eliminated. So I was trying to figure out. I mean, I think priority given to town governance.
One photo might fit.
Right.
Well,
so priority given, if we just leave it as town governance, community organizations, and library
yeah,
events and just leave it at that. And yeah, then anything else?
You say first come, first serve basis. Get those submissions in there.
It does get people to get it in on time.
It might not be a bad idea.
Okay, good. Except you might not want what
because of
first
things,
comes.
The
first
things coming in as electronic submissions, we would have the dates for when they were sent. So
okay. And then there was one other the purpose newsletter purpose information. Primary purpose to promote information on community and cultural activity in Roxbury by providing community members an opportunity to publish information to community organizations.
And that's not Roxbury community, that's just community in general, right?
But specifically activity in and around Roxbury. Regarding governmental and community items of public interest, I think that seems fine. Okay, well, I can revise all these little changes we've made. Send out a revision, a revised document. I did very quickly want to talk about the deadlines, Brian.
Mm-hmm.
I just made it the 15th of the month before.
It's
which
fine.
I think it's around what we usually do anyway, right?
It is, yeah.
Okay.
I think I would usually pick the Friday or the Monday. I'd have to look, thinking that might give people more opportunity, but it doesn't make that much of a difference.
Sometimes it's easier just to remember the 15th, 2/15. Mm-hmm. And then this is like the way my brain works. I look at to be printed and I think January 1st is the deadline. So I would actually just switch those in the policy. So it says deadline for submission to be printed.
The January 1st.
Yeah. Because I'm reading left right. So most people do. And then the last one was the editorial board will consist of was the one that we didn't, or we just say. The library trustees. Or, right, because we had all materials reviewed by the director before being accepted,
mm-hmm.
but the library trustees have the final editorial control over all submissions and just leave it at that and not define the editorial board.
But then that would exclude Courtney.
Right, okay.
Right.
What I had written was, if there was some question regarding content, grammar, or eligibility, I should write, the library trustees would be the ultimate editorial board. Mm-hmm.
And volunteer trustee.
Well, I'm curious if the editorial board will consist of the library director, the board of trustees, the library director, and
volunteer.
And we could just say,
does she have a position?
Well, she's a professional editor, a copy editor or
But it's also tricky to build. You don't want to build a policy around one person.
Right.
Because if she moves or decides she's too busy.
Right.
Appointed volunteer.
Or,
I don't know. You could say volunteers as needed or.
I like volunteers as needed.
Volunteer, yeah.
As needed.
As needed. Is
mm-hmm.
that?
And. Possible.
We don't need to think about that.
Designated.
Designees could work.
Available, volunteers.
Am I saying?
Willing, energetic volunteers. And
there. I think that was actually the language that was used in the original, that town policy, it did say.
And there what?
The editorial board consists of, and it was like the town manager, the, you know, select board has final say, and then, or their you know, and their designated assistants or
volunteers.
I think we can just use designees, right?
I could spell designees.
Let me ask one question. So we're scheduled to meet on the 12th of September. That will be
close to the deadline of the new C.
Right. Are we going to try to? I mean, this would be adopted right before that next submission cycle. Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I don't know.
Why would it be a bad thing?
Because it would potentially. Well, it doesn't really change, but somebody could say it changes things like right before.
Oh.
do you see what I mean?
That's somebody
just like trying to shut me up.
Well, no, I'm not expecting any problems. No, I'm just thinking more for us. Like, is there anything that we're going to need to be doing differently for this next issue that maybe we should. Like I said, I would still send
You're
out
the one doing all the work.
I would send out the reminder note to the usual contributors about the beginning of September, the end of August. And then we'd have a meeting and then this policy. So I guess that's where the limbo comes in, is I would notify the contributors of the upcoming issue. And then days before their contributions would be due, we would have a new policy on the books, it's minor. It's not a big deal probably, but.
Contributors do send that.
It's like 27, 30, something like that.
That many, wow.
So I'm curious if we're going to, you had mentioned reaching out to those contributors and getting some feedback from them. And I'm wondering if.
That's kind of what I was asking. If we
want to get that feedback before we finalize that, would there be time if you reach out before you ask them to submit? If you reach out in the next week or so and say, you know, how's it working for you? Is there something we could do differently? Mm-hmm. Or do you have suggestions or whatever? And if either nothing that comes back would really impact this, but if something comes back that says, you know, yeah, I want to see, I can't think of an example of how it would change this, but
we'd like to see more issues. We'd like to see, I don't know either.
It's too long and I can't stand how long it is. Right. And what's with all the photographs or what's with all the, right.
Or I threw it.
Right or I really miss the recipe. Can that be a regular thing? Like, you know, those are, that wouldn't necessarily impact the policy.
No, but it's still feedback that might inform the
right. policy. So what if we put it tentatively on there? We take this, you know, take this draft and include it for possible adoption unless we hear something major back. And I would very much like Carl to weigh in on this because he wasn't here for this discussion. And I think his input is valuable.
Good discussion, actually.
Mm-hmm. It's been a long time since we talked about it in earnest. It was like 2016, I think, is when we started. And we had a bunch of discussions early on, and then just kind of chugged along.
Still going.
So it is.
Good work. Aggie Smee had a question.
Aggie.
She is one of the contributors.
Okay.
Does she count as a Pincus?
I don't think so.
Really? She's free?
She's a free agent.
Mm-hmm. You're kidding.
Mm-hmm. Is she a Roxbury resident?
I don't think she's on the voting list.
No. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm going to add one more submission guideline. Is that
you have to be reading.
If multiple names are on the authorship, then yeah. All authors have reviewed the material. Because that was, and then we don't have a redaction.
We don't.
A section in here. We publish something. I mean, would it be fair to say we reserve the right to redact any article or?
But how?
How do you do
outside
that?
Right. Outside of a note in the next issue 3 months later, we don't have a way to.
So I think it's fair to make that part of our policy is that work with authorship attributed.
So the question
must be reviewed.
Yeah. It gets tricky though, because so if, I mean, more often than not, Tammy writes for the select board and the town office. But if the select board wrote something and it was attributed to the select board, would we check in with all five members of the select board to get their approval to make sure that it was correct?
That's a lot of work.
Or do you just assume that the person who provided it had the authority to write on behalf of the board? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because typically that is how it is. Like a board chair or like a board clerk or somebody would be designated as if we have the authority to speak on behalf of the board.
Yep. Interesting.
But
that would make Renee the person that you would look to for the board's response.
Yep. And if somebody was unsure of something or they weren't happy with something, they would know where it came from, where it would go. But then like it was different with the school board because Kristen and Rhett would write as Roxbury representatives to Roxbury. They weren't necessarily always writing on behalf of the board.
Right.
And so then you're in that position, like does one get preference over the other for who does or doesn't? Like if they both, so it is conceivable that both of them could write contributions as Roxbury School, as MRP's board directors. They could each write an article, right?
You're going to find of the next year at least that the people who are advocating or not advocating ideas for the school, or there are going to be a lot of things about about the ideas from that group, and they're all the people on it are very opinionated and articulate.
It's definitely an interesting time in Roxbury.
Roxbury has so many dimensions.
What about something like, it is assumed submissions by a group have been vetted by the organization, mm-hmm. and it is not the responsibility of the newsie to,
that's cool.
to verify.
Mm-hmm.
No, on behalf of that group or something like that.
Yeah.
That seems fair. Good. I think that's, yeah.
Yeah, it's your responsibility to vet before you send this. Mm-hmm.
Okay, sorry, I'm gonna have to go soon. Yes, the boys.
Me too. We all need to go, but okay, this is a start. I will clean this up, and I know we can't discuss it by email, the policy.
When I reach out to the usual list of contributors, and if I, assuming that some of them are willing to talk about their experience, their ideas, does it make sense for me to share the draft with them?
Yeah.
If they want to.
I think that seems,
yeah,
seems fair. And
it really is a handful of folks who.
Yeah. And I think in particular, it would be nice to hear, like, if someone says, yeah, you know, I submitted something and, you know, it was edited in a way that didn't sound like I wrote it and I didn't like that. Or it was, you know,
not me.
And it, yeah. And so that's a helpful piece. I feel like that happens probably less with Courtney than with me and Jane.
Okay.
Are we good with this? Ryan, I'll turn this around to you as quickly as possible.
Thank you for all the hard work.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's take this one. Right. Okay. What? Is this? All right, next meeting 9:12. Okay, I'll make sure if we're having it at 9 that we show up at 9 next time. I don't know why I had it written in my calendar as 9:30, but I did.
Those Canadians snuck in and did it.
I was on Atlantic time, actually. That would have been, I would have been even later. Okay, well. No objections. Can we adjourn?
Oh, I'm getting this time right.
Do we have to second it? I second it.
What? No, I think just adjourn. Meeting was adjourned then.
Okay.
Very late. 11:40. I'm sorry. That was a very long
meeting. 7.
But I think important discussion.